is episode 55 of Drunk on Comics.
It's like our anniversary issue or something.
What the fuck? I go get drinks and you guys start this podcast without us. We're the ones that created this.
Wait.
I'm getting drinks.
Wait, did they actually already start?
Yes, it looks like they already started. So fuck you guys. You guys are kicked off the team.
Oh, man.
And wait, Jim's not even actually part of the fucking team.
I really hate you guys. So you guys don't get the shots that we just bought you. Captain America shots.
Yeah, Captain America. Cheers, guys.
Ooh, USA! Yeah. 1 year.
Yes, move the comics.
I was going to say, as a 1 year anniversary, shoot.
You guys drink so well.
Yeah, I should have just shot that right away, but I didn't want there just to be silence. But
you still didn't talk.
But it. See, I'm just going to sip on this.
It's because you have a massive vagina.
Yes.
Well, fuck these two. This is episode 55, our 1 year anniversary.
And I was going to say, and like most guys, we forgot about it until the bartender reminded us.
Until the woman in our life told us. Yeah. Thank you, Tony.
Yeah. You guys are welcome. But yes. We are doing this live down at one of our favorite watering holes.
Yeah.
Place where this idea came about, actually.
Where it was actually developed.
Yes.
You know, I mean, like, the idea of it came a little bit before, but
maybe when the first person had a podcast and thought about doing them, but
where it was actually, like, where this
is our idea inception.
It was inseminated here. So, welcome to Drunk on Comics. My name is Derek. That was Tony.
Yep.
We got Matthew.
Hello.
And Sidecar Jim.
Midnight Gym.
Oh, shit, it's Midnight Gym.
We're doing Midnight Gym.
No, we're doing Hobo Gym now.
Hobo Gym!
So, guys, let's get things kicked off here with our reviews with Off the Shelf. Brought to you once again this week by Grand Con. Look them up at grand-con.com. Happening September 20th through the 22nd at the Prince Convention Center at Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's going to be gaming and comic convention. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be there, which is part of the reason it's going to be awesome. But
sure.
Go check them out, grand-con.com. Who wants to kick it off this week?
Not me.
Not me.
You know what? I'll
kick it off.
All right, good.
All right.
I don't have it either.
Yep. Before I do, though, we do have to give a little spoiler warning.
I don't think we have to anymore.
Well,
somebody
told us that we have to, like, that we should be telling people that we fucking swear on this. So there's your warning on that.
Yeah.
I think if they listen, they'll find out, they talk about their comics, and, they just fucking swore.
Yeah, I would think so, too, but...
And we're gonna give away some of the endings of these books, and...
Kind of like the way Kim Kardashian gives away her lower parts.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So that's our spoiler alert.
Okay. So this week I have Indestructible Hulk number 9, written by Mark Waid. Matteo Scalera did the art. Val Staples did the color. Chris Eliopoulos on letters and Paulo Rivera on the cover. And this issue opens up with Bruce Banner on the S.H.I.E.L.D. Helicarrier. And the cool thing about this is that you see Bruce making a cell phone call from the carrier, which instantly pisses off Maria Hill, going, is that a cell phone? Cell phones don't work on here because they have everything blocked. But he figured out a way and created a cell phone that could, like, bypass all their security systems. And it's cool because he's calling his contact, which once a week, it's kind of his insurance policy that he has an outside source that he calls to kind of make sure that S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't just shoot the Hulk into the sun to get rid of him forever.
Or another planet, because that would suck.
Yeah, yeah, like, I don't know, like a World War Hulk or something like that.
Or a planet Hulk.
Right? Yeah, something like that, yeah. But the catch here is that his contact is his lawyer, Matt Murdock, a.k.a. Daredevil.
Of course you picked this up, because it had Daredevil in it.
Well, actually, I've been reading this since issue 1, so... But this
just gave you a bigger boner.
Well, I wouldn't call it big, and most women wouldn't either.
I was going to say, I get that Matt Murdock is his lawyer, but what do you think his cousin Jennifer's thinking? You know, she's a lawyer too, and they're also Hulks, and she's like, no, that's okay. Go with a man lawyer, because he's probably going to defend you better or something.
Well, you know, it's that whole nepotism thing. Like, if they actually have to go to court, they don't want people thinking that she's emotionally involved.
But if Daredevil shows up...
Yeah, he's blind.
Okay.
He's like caveman lawyer. But anyway, so Hulk and Daredevil team up in this issue and go after some gun runners from the bad guy group of Agents Byzantine. And it's a very classic Silver Age style story, complete with Baron Zemo being the bad guy that's teased at the end of it. So there's a ton of great dialogue in here from Wade. The panel layouts from Scalera are just fucking perfect.
I just think they need to replace Baron Zemo.
He hasn't been around forever.
I know, and exactly. He's from fucking World War II.
No, there's a second one.
Oh, is there?
Well, I'm pretty sure there's a different one.
Yeah, it's like his son or something.
Yeah. But, maybe. But still, with all that Nazi super science, you don't think they could live a long time?
Nazis are always bad. We've covered this. So.
But aren't they? Isn't Baron Zemo also part of Hydra? And like Hydra was Nazi? Like they went back and changed Hydra's origins? Or am I just making stuff up?
I don't remember.
I know in the movies they did that. And I don't know if they updated that to mainstream. Cause
yeah, I'm not 100% positive on that one because it doesn't fall within the Daredevil or X-Men continuity. But so anyway, I do want to say that I really love some of the humor in here. I mean, some of it's subtle, some of it's not so subtle. Like when Maria Hill gets back at Banner for creating a cell phone, they decide they're going to have everybody, including Banner, parachute onto this like big boat that has all the guns on it. And he's like, "Well, why am I not going as hell?" She goes, "Oh, you don't need to worry about that. Like you're mostly here for reconnaissance, blah blah blah." And then she goes, just when you jump, pull the ripcord. Pulls the ripcord, and it's like dirty rags and laundry come out. Knowing that he's going to Hulk out before, and then he hits the thing like a fucking missile.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a lot of fun. You know, and I haven't talked about this book much on here, but I will say this is probably one of the best series that Marvel's putting out right now. So, two mugs up for sure. And if you haven't been reading this book, this is a perfect jumping on point. So, I recommend that you do. So,
awesome.
That's it.
Jim, what do you got for us?
All right, so I decided to switch it up a little bit and, you know, not review something that Mignola is somewhat tied to. And I got Supergirl, issue 21.
Who, Mjolnir?
Meow. So you actually read something that is not from the Mignola universe?
I tried. Okay. And it was a good experience. I had a fun time. Supergirl, issue 21, written by Michael Allen Nelson. Drawn by Diogenes Neves and inked by Richard Bonk. So this is apparently this is the second issue that this new writer's been on, and so I just figured jump in, not knowing that it worked as a pretty decent jumping on point. Kara's Supergirl has gone off to a new planet because everybody hates her on Earth and
knows. Is she still Clark's cousin in the New 52?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But it's kind of like some big bad villain has set up this planet, it kind of seems like, where, you know, they're accepting of her, but you can tell there's something in the background. They're brooding to kind of do something bad. The art on this is pretty good. It has just like that kind of standard what DC's been doing lately with a very, very straightforward art style. Nelson gets really into Kara's character and stuff, and you get this great scene where they reconstruct something from her memory that was on Krypton right here that you can't see, readers, but I'm showing everybody else, or viewers.
Listeners.
If they're viewers, they can see it.
Jinx.
Right. Yeah.
You owe me another
so
beer?
Readers at home.
Readers at home. Reader and viewers at home. Jeez, that just...
Wait, are people reading the, like, closed captions of our podcast?
Oh, my God. If we put this in closed captioning, that'd be
great. We would have just as many spelling errors as we do errors in pronouncing artists' last names.
Well, actually, now I'm wondering, closed caption for podcasts, is that just, like, Braille on your computer screen or what? Anyway, keep going.
So you get this really nice moment where, you know, she sees this statue that she saw in a history museum on Krypton when she was a young girl. And it really, you know, she feels this acceptance and everything. And then, boom, right at the end, Cyborg's Superman shows up. I don't
badass.
Know who this is, but this is terrifying.
Cyborg Superman, that's what you just said it was.
Yeah, I don't really know anything about it. I don't know if it's new or old or whatever.
It doesn't
but...
have a lower jaw. It's all metal.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's pretty interesting looking, and I'm going to check out the
he's
next
got, He's got a cable arm.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The art for Cyborg Superman is pretty badass.
No, for sure, for sure.
So she's older than Clark, but yet she always looks younger than Clark.
Yeah, who cares?
So do Kryptonian women just age at a slower rate? Yes. Is that how it goes?
You doing okay?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, we're doing good.
I don't know. Should we do more shots?
Yeah, four more on my tab.
These?
Yep.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Make it delicious.
So, okay, so keep going, Jim. See, as you guys can actually tell, we're really in a bar.
We're really drinking. Yeah, or are we? Are we paying our friends to make it talk sound like it is?
Dude, if we're paying our friends to do this, we're really, really lame. In a bad situation.
And really rich to be able to afford it.
Yeah. Matt, what did you read this week? All right,
well, this is going to tie in with Tony's collage of reviews. But, you know, not surprisingly, I'm going to cover Age of Ultron Book 10.
Is this a key issue or something?
It's kind of the last issue of the Age of Ultron one. Writer Brian Michael Bendis. I would name off all the artists to you, but there's a lot of them, so if you worked on this book, good for you.
If you've ever worked for Marvel, you're probably in here.
Yeah. Well, so this is closing up the whole Age of Ultron book, and if you've been following it, you probably realize that Ultron... Went to the future and then was controlling the past from the future and totally screwed everyone. So Wolverine tried to fix it, and by going back in time and then having to go back in time again because he screwed up once, eventually Hank Pym has put in a program in Ultron from the very beginning that he will only remember now in the present to activate. To destroy Ultron.
But only remember now when Sue gave it to him.
When Sue Storm allowed him to remember it. Now, the big thing here that I really liked is they went right back to that, it was actually Avengers Annual issue, and then it became the free comic book day issue.
Oh, there's a point one.
Yeah, it was a point one, and it launched the whole Age of Ultron series when Ultron came back to Earth.
They put that out about 7 years ago, originally.
It felt like it, yeah. But what I liked about it is that they came back to, like, the original art, the original story.
We brought you the baby shot, because you can't
Yes!
I don't know if you guys can hear that at home, but our waitress just said to Jim that she brought him the baby shot because he couldn't handle it.
Yeah. Thank you kindly. Yeah. Oh,
there you go.
All right, keep going there, Matt.
All right, so we get this this original comic that came out years ago, tying the whole thing together. So for Marvel, I will say kudos for having a storyline that you had planned for years ago and you brought it back together.
Somebody was just smart enough to take good information from the past and create a good go. Hey.
That's true.
I could work off that.
You could.
Well, or maybe they time traveled and thought it was new.
That point one issue was completely geared. I mean, that wasn't like a single off story or anything. That issue came out and was
completely geared for saying Ultron's back on Earth and we're screwed.
Now, maybe it was like, we'll get to it someday. Yeah. And that's now. But
but even that issue was
Marvel
cool.
It's Marvel now.
Yeah, that issue was even really cool because how Ultron got back to Earth is that he hitchhiked on a space knight. And the last time we saw Ultron was in the Conquest series, where he had taken control of like the techno-organic
the phalanx,
and he had controlled a bunch of space knights through the technology.
Yeah, had a lot of to do with Thanos. Had a lot to do with Guardians of the Galaxy
and
had
Adam
a lot,
Warlock,
and Nova, and all those things that are going out.
It was a great series that followed up Annihilation, and then it brought it back to Earth on a space knight. So, like I said, I've been real happy with this continuity issue. They don't have to hit a reset button on their universe to try to make everything work together. Anyways, I digress. So, storyline, ultimately, they do destroy Ultron in a nice, clever way, because as soon as Ultron thought the virus was destroying him, it was actually activating a different virus that was going to destroy him, so they kind of confused his...
So he's gone forever, then. He's never coming back.
Well, technically, yes and no, because he's Hank Pym. He could always create him again. I'll do it better this time,
well,
right?
Well, he's comic book dead.
Yeah, he's comic book dead. So Ultron's dead, they save the day, and then the world
shatters.
Things get weird. You get a whole bunch of nice little collages of alternate realities.
It's kind of like that morning after. You're like, oh, did that happen?
What did they do last night?
Did it happen?
I remember that book. That was a different series. Wait, oh, you know I'm a pirate now?
You know what this kind of looks like? I'm not going to lie.
issue 5 of Flashpoint. Went right before the new 52 started.
I was going to say, it did remind me of like Infinite Crisis, where they have like all the different realities and stuff. So, anyways, Marvel broke the space-time continuum.
It's something that we've talked about.
We've talked about it, and Tony's going to get onto more. What I'll say about this is, whenever you have these big events, it needs to do one of two things. It either needs to be its own complete story that is just really awesome, that when it's done, people are like, cool, we can breathe after it. After Siege, when he had the bringing in the heroic age again, there was kind of like that moment. Or after Civil War, like, it was kind of cool. This one actually start, or the other thing that a big crossover event should do is
gear up for something new.
And this is really gearing up for things in the Ultimate Universe. There's a really cool shot of Miles Morales. Spider-Man.
Morales.
Miles Morales.
Moron.
Shut up. And Galactus going over to that world, which I'm sure we will cover in future ones, because I am stoked for the Ultimate Universe again, and I haven't been for a long time, so I'm going to be all Ultimate here real soon.
I've got to break in. One of the smartest things they did in the book layout is, as soon as you see on the double page spread of Miles Morales seeing the shadow of Galactus coming in, you flip the page and there's an ad for the World Eater has sights.
Hungry number one.
Yeah.
This hunger. Is hunger.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Me read well.
Me,
I'm going to drink more.
Me, I'm a professor. But no, like, they put an ad in for, you know, like Age of Ultron into the Ultimate, you know.
The ramifications. So that was really good product placement for Marvel.
You know, it's surprising because I didn't know Marvel knew how to advertise.
Nobody else is buying up that ad space.
The final thing I'll say about this book is we get this really amazing build-up for this character that's like, I don't understand. I don't know how I got here. I don't know who's responsible. We get a little trail of some ribbons and some blood. And totally anticlimactically, I turn the page and I go, oh, it's Angela, because I knew this 6 months ago.
Yeah. Which, when you're done, that leads into something we have to talk about.
Pretty much, I'm done. Because other than that, like I said, that revelation of Angela, I just kind of said, yeah, it's Angela. And I turn the next page and go, it's over. It's done. Gee. I knew that. Yeah. Like, seriously, Marvel, you did great in Iron Man 3 for not revealing who the Mandarin is, but in your comic books, you suck. You tell us everything important before it happens.
Which pisses me off the most, because they polybag these fucking comic books, which any collector knows that polybags ruin comics if you keep them in there. You have to take them out, or actually it starts degrading those comics.
Yeah. How?
I don't know. There's something with the chemicals in the bags. And,
cheap Chinese plastic.
Yeah. Well, and that dirty Chinese air. So, you know, but so they do this. They seal it all off. Like, there's some secret in there. There's no fucking secret. Why'd you polybag that shit?
Especially when it's coming out on Wednesday, on like Monday or Tuesday, USA Today. This happens in Amazing Spider-Man.
Yep. Well, but it was months ago that we talked about.
And there's a variant cover with Angela on it,
which I bought. And now I will say, good job, Marvel.
Do you think the surprise though was the Ultimate Universe thing?
I think that was much more surprising.
I think that they're going to go in and destroy the Ultimate Universe.
I think they are too, because I know
Do you think that was the reason they polybagged it?
No, I don't think that's why they polybagged. Because there's nothing on the cover. The cover actually looks like the Avengers trying to fight Ultron in the future.
Yeah.
Which we all know that mission that went to the future was doomed. They all died when they got there.
Well, and I'll be honest. Like, I, you know, every once in a while I buy variant covers if I really like the art or I really like the artist or whatever. I took a gamble on the Angela variant, because I like Angela back from the days of Spawn, you know, and I took a gamble. It wasn't worth it. I'm pissed. So from now on, you know, because I spent more.
So was that, you didn't know what it was either? It was in a poly bag, it was special Angela edition?
No, you could see. I've seen pictures of that before.
Well, I could have looked it up online, but it was the black bag, and it just says Angela variant.
Oh, geez.
So it's not like Angela was a secret when you put Angela variant on the front fucking cover. you know, or
so
the front.
I also
front of the
I also have to take this moment to say, Dirk Manning, you were wrong. It was not Miracle Man. It was indeed Angela.
Yeah. Although I was hoping that he would be right.
I was still hoping you were right. But
are they going to do anything with that?
Yes, she's going to probably become a big part of Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, Miracle Man.
Oh, I don't know.
When are we going to get Miracle Man? I don't know.
I want them to get Meteor Man back.
I want them to get Miracle Whip.
Now, how about we do these shots real quickly?
Yeah. Drink.
Shots.
Cheers.
Sip.
Yeah. Whoa. All right. So Matt just showed Jim what it is like to actually have a pair of testicles.
A pair. That's funny.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah. So, listeners, if you want to learn
three of them,
if you want to know something personal about me, since I'm a little drunk now, I only do have one testicle.
Matt is the uniballer.
Yeah, but you know what? Who's got kids here? This guy.
Yeah, you know who's not paying child support? This guy.
I don't know. By the way, happy illegitimate Father's Day to the rest of my team here. All right.
I enjoyed the gifts I bought for myself with my money that I had. Right.
So, time stream continuum broke, which brings us into time travel. Tony, take it away.
All right. So, I'm going to just kind of go over the rest of the gauntlet of books that we picked up. Fantastic Four, number 9.
So is this pretty much just covering up Last Call for you before it's Last Call?
Pretty much.
Kind of, but they all tie in together. Kind of like the last time me and Matthew both tagged team on these comic books of time travel. Remember?
Did you Eiffel Tower the books?
Oh, yeah. We anyway. Pretty much Avengers number 14, Uncanny Avengers number 9, New Avengers number 7. Each one of these has time travel, but not even time travel. It's more or less talking about Age of Ultron, when they kind of said, and it looked like the time travel was shattered. We'll get into, New Avengers first, when Immortus comes in, he's talking about the Apocalypse Twins, and how...
That was Uncanny Avengers.
No, it wasn't. Was it?
Yeah, Uncanny Avengers.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't Uncanny. Okay, sorry. Avengers. Okay.
There's lots of Avengers titles. It's an easy mistake to make.
And in Uncanny, he pretty much told... Captain America that now, because of all this time travel, because you guys keep jumping up and down, which is referring to other books that are going on right now, and this is the thing that I really enjoy, is that they're now kind of expanding this big event or what's going on and saying, yeah, you keep fucking up this whole world because you guys just think, oh, I'll time travel and I'll fix that. Oh, I'll time travel and I'll fix that. Oh, yeah, I'll time travel again and fix that. And it's getting to be where even I'm kind of getting sick of that mechanism, like we talked about that before.
Thank you. What? But it's interesting that Immortus is the one talking about messing up the time stream, because it was his battle with Ultron in the future that broke the time stream when they rebooted, when they started numbering Avengers over again. And they had that short brief run to the future where they had to convince Ultron to lose to Kang, otherwise all of space-time would be destroyed.
And I don't know if you guys know, Immortus and Kang are the same people.
Just Immortus is a more mature Kang.
I feel like Marvel's no longer the superhero genre publisher. It is a time travel genre publisher.
Yeah, Marty McFly when he in the future.
Dude, I was waiting to like jump in with something going, so which book has Marty in it?
The flux capacitor.
The biggest thing that came out of Uncanny Avengers was Immortus talking about, hey, he can't time travel this time right now.
They
so.
Made a Tycheon dam. Which anyone who knows Watchmen, the Tycheon particles are what stops Dr. Manhattan from reading the future. And so they made a dam so people can't time travel back to this era right now.
And with that, he was talking about the 7 prime timelines. In the 7th... What?
I said that was a footnote, ladies and gentlemen.
Matt just whispered in my ear like he had something really secret to say to me.
It was a footnote. Okay.
So there's 7 prime timelines now in the Marvel Universe that are going to be branching off of the events that are going on right now. That's kind of cool to kind of be saying, well, then what would those be? One of them I'm thinking is Cable's future.
Yep.
One of them, the 2099 future.
Okay.
Would seem like another one. I think Thor would be another timeline because that future is going on.
Yep,
the Gore one. So there's 4 of them. What else is future type that...
Age of Apocalypse.
That was a present.
That was an alternate reality.
Okay.
That broke off into an alternate reality.
Days of Futures Past.
The original past, Guardians of the Galaxy's future.
Oh, yeah, original Guardians of the Galaxy.
Another prime would be the Optimus one.
Nice.
Yeah.
That would be my favorite book ever. We're going to go visit the Optimus Prime.
Well, whatever Kang's future is,
yes,
that would be one.
And so it's going to get interesting what these new timelines mean.
If they ever identify the seven prime timelines.
Because they have in the past already retrograded how many future timelines. They did that with Blindfold and with the whole Messiah War and everything.
Messiah Complex?
Sinister went and destroyed all the people that could read the future.
Oh, yeah.
And so that became a pretty interesting thing where no one knew what the future timelines meant.
Yeah.
So one of them... Hey, Craig, how's it going?
We're good.
We're just recording our podcast, so do you want to say hi to the internet?
Thanks, Craig.
Good old drunk buddy Craig.
Another fun fact for the listeners, 7 is a prime number.
Ooh, maybe that's what it means.
All right, no.
We're going to go into Fantastic Four, where they also fuck up the timely stream, or try to, when Ben Grimm tried to stop Victor Von Doom from becoming Doom. And when he did that, Reed kind of said that you can't always mess up the time stream. Sometimes shit falls into place.
I'm going to interrupt here. This is why we don't record in a bar, because when they start playing Queen Bohemian Rhapsody...
I just want to start singing.
Yeah.
We're taking a small break. Interruption in the regular routine.
And the other reason we don't record in a bar is because we get fucked up early.
So Fantastic Four had to do with I'm just going to lose where I'm at now. But
okay,
the
so
one
Fantastic Four, they go back, they try to stop Doom. Ben Grimm thinks he's responsible for Doom's scar, which then turns him into Doom. When they get there to watch, they actually find a ton of different Dr. Dooms who are sitting there watching Doom become Doom. And they're like, Doom's inevitable. Like, they will make sure that in every history, Doom gets that scar so he becomes Dr. Doom.
That's just mean.
Yeah. He's an ego megalomaniac. That's why I love him.
Lastly,
he's a Lego maniac?
Yes, he's a Lego maniac.
I love Legos.
Latveria completely made out of Legos.
Yeah. And the alternate reality of Animaniacs?
The last thing I have to talk about... is New Avengers. And New Avengers did the greatest thing ever, and it closed all the loopholes and shit that we were bitching about in New Avengers for a while.
Yeah, when did this event happen?
Yeah, when did this stuff go on?
It was a month ago.
Why does Beast look like his old self when he's mutated into his new self? And that was one of the things that was ticking me off.
Dude, they draw Beast however the fuck they
want. No, they don't anymore. They don't anymore.
When did they stop drawing him like a horse? Remember a few years back when he was a horse? Well, he had a horse face?
Well, yeah, but
that was cat face.
He had a horse face.
No.
Do you remember when he was an Irish wolfhound for like two issues in X-Men?
Astonishing.
Yeah, no, it was X-Men and Wolverine and X-Men.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, now he's back to being his gorilla type monkey guy right now. They explain that he went through mutation. They also have explained some other things, such as how Reed Richards can be going through space.
Because he's got a convenient plot device.
Yeah.
A ship that can travel through time and space.
So, that's why he's working on New Avengers and also out with his family. And he even mentions, I need to get this done before my family notices I'm gone.
But theoretically, because he can stretch however he wants, could he have like a tiny little tendril that's like as big as
he has his limits to stretch it.
As a gossamer string where he could create almost two of himself?
Actually, he has created two of himself fighting like that where they're connected, but he doesn't have infinite length.
And it'd be really creepy
plastic, man. Come on.
Yeah, but it'd be really creepy if those two were connected by an umbilical cord. belly button to belly button. Just gross.
But, yeah, so time travel. Back to time travel. Go for it, Tony.
I'm done.
Dude, you lost me when you said time travel.
Yeah. So, ultimately, all these books really,
come together.
But, which is both cool, because... If there's continuity and they do it well, that'll be a nice, universe of books to be reading. However, if they screw it up, then it just feels like time travel was their convenient plot device of the month or the year.
But now it's getting into signals. With Avengers, they're talking about all the signals they've been sending to who, to what, to why,
which is going to lead into Infinity.
Yes.
The Infinity thing.
Ultimately, this was a great time to be reading some Marvel now.
He said it's a great time.
So, fanboys out there, if you like discussions on time travel, we highly suggest read these books, go to the bar, or have friends over, and get schwasted and talk about time traveling.
Matt, do you want another beer?
Yes, please.
Okay, so that pretty much wraps it up for Off the Shelf. Once again, brought to you by Grand Con. It's grand-con.com. Come see us in September in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We'll be there. Tony, where are we going?
I don't know. Do we got good comic book covers?
We do have some good comic book.
We have the best on tap.
Is
this a segment I've heard of called Best on Tap?
There is Best on Tap. And this week, Best on Tap is...
Why the fuck am I buying this shit? You owe me money.
No, I'm paying for the lawnmower. You owe me money.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. All right, so now that Matt and Tony have...
Matt, do you not want to finish the rest?
Oh, my God, Matt, that's alcohol abuse. Finish your damn beer. All right, so...
That's the sacrifice to the gods.
Okay. We and one for my homies. We have Harbinger, number 13, from Valiant Comics, as Best on Tap this week. Drawn by Carrie, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Evans.
Or Evans, who knows?
I think it's
Evans,
Carrie.
Or it could be Evans, or Evans.
Evans.
Yeah.
And it's K-H, so it could be Carrie. I don't know.
No, you don't know.
All right, I don't know. And I apologize to Carrie Evans for...
Yeah.
Listen, artist.
Or Carrie
Evans. Make pen names. Come on!
But anyway, this has... You can see the chest and hand of Bloodshot with the barrel of a gun, which looks like about like probably like a 9mm. He's got 5 bullets in his hand, and each bullet is reflecting the face of somebody else that he wants to probably kill on there.
Yeah.
But that's it. It's a really cool cover. Go check it out. And by the way, Best on Tap this week brought to you by Comic Book Displays, which is fantastic if you want to showcase this awesome cover art. So check them out, comicbookdisplays.com. We have ours, and I'm buying more. I don't know about you guys, but yeah.
I was very proud to show off my Doctor Doom cover.
Yeah,
I'm gonna buy one.
Well, yeah, because you're not actually part of the group, so we didn't buy one for you.
And then are you gonna frame your own artwork in there?
Or? No, I have. No,
nobody would frame his artwork.
I have
his mom frames all of it on the refrigerator.
Alright, so that does it for Best on Tap. Once again, brought to you by Comic Book Displays.
Let's do Indie Turnpike too, why not?
Indie Turnpike?
Finish line! Yay!
Finish him.
You realize I just wait for you to stop making noise.
No, I was trying to do the theme song for Excitebike. Do you guys remember that game?
No.
Excitebike was an awesome game for Nintendo.
Well, I remember the game, but I don't remember playing it or the theme song. But, all right, so this week, Indie Turnpike is brought to you by Intercomics. It's inter-comics.com, online retailer in the UK, but they ship worldwide. So if you don't live in the UK, that's cool. And their prices are fucking great. Like, some of their back issues are like $1.50 US. You know, and you buy enough, and...
That's like a pound.
Well, it's 99
pence?
Yeah,
99 pence.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like $1.50 US. Yeah. And I mean, for shit that's like maybe a month old...
That's not bad.
No. So go on there, stock up, ship it to your door. You don't even have to leave mom's basement. You can get, get your books. But, so, Indie Turnpike this week, I picked Mara, number 5 of 6... from Image, from Brian Wood, the writer. Ming Doyle did the art, and Jordi Belair did the colors. This book is about a character named Mara Prince, who is a volleyball player from a slightly futuristic society where athletes are kind of like the world celebrities and endorsement spokespeople.
Wait, does that mean that it's 2013? Exactly.
No, like they... from what I get in this, there aren't movie stars. There aren't rock stars. No,
yeah, it's a world that's completely centered around sports.
Yeah. Like, and her is a female volleyball player. Like, she's like one of the hottest properties that's out there. And
well, when you watch the Olympics, there's like a couple sports to watch. Girls gymnastics, girls beach volleyball.
and I believe the pedophiliacs is the other one that you watch, isn't it?
Maybe.
But anyway, so... in this world, pretty much everybody is tuned in 24/7 to the media, whether it's social media or we're talking with our hands cuffed or the news, whatever it may be. I'm just trying to figure out what you guys are saying to each other.
I love you.
Yeah, you liar. But
no.
So,
starting to remind me of Captain N and the Game Masters.
Captain N and the Game Masters.
Wait, what?
The fucking awesome old cartoon show of this guy that got zapped into a world of like video games.
And he had the Duck Hunt gun.
And he had a power glove.
And he had a controller. So.
And he could pause and stop
and he was always fighting
Mother Brain.
Always and King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard.
Yeah.
Cool.
Which is nothing like this book.
Yeah.
God, why are we so drunk? Let's cohesive thought back to the indie turn.
Okay.
Like,
so Mara has been evolving, I guess you'd say, since like the first issue, and she's kind of been gaining superhuman abilities. First it was like super speed, and then there was flight, and now it seems she's impervious to all like external elements, like extreme cold, lack of oxygen, needing sustenance. And the world governments and private companies are trying to like capture her to figure out why and how she's developed these abilities. So in order to lure her in, they kidnap her brother, who is like a soldier for one of these government armies and has been a lifelong soldier, kind of hoping that maybe it's genetic or he can tell her or tell them the whereabouts where she's at. And they eventually beat him to death, trying to see if he either has regenerative abilities or if he'll give up her location. Well, he doesn't know where he's at, and he obviously doesn't have regenerative abilities, so it kind of pisses her off a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, more than just a little bit. And
Mara, angry.
Yeah. Well, the turn in this book is where Mara denounces her status as a member of the human race and basically just says, fuck you all. And she, using, like, telekinesis, starts pulling the missiles out of the bunkers and unleashes them back onto Earth. And that's where it cuts. Like, you see the missiles coming down. She's like, you're bad people. I wasn't causing any problems. And she just...
If that's issue 5, I really want to know what happens in issue 6.
Yeah. Yeah.
that's a good cliffhanger.
It is awesome. And the thing is, when I bought this book, I had no idea what this story was about other than, you know, I'm like, I like Brian Wood. I'm going to buy it. And I'm really glad I picked it up. But, you know...
Derek likes wood.
Do they talk about the rampant steroid abuse in this world?
Well, and that might be where she gets her powers. We don't know yet.
Chimpanzee?
I think it's a fantastic twist, though.
Do they all watch WCW?
No, they don't. No, they watch WWE.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but... So, what I gotta say, though, there's some really...
Hulk Hogan's a king of his own land.
Tony just did some time traveling of his own there. Back to the past. Okay.
Yeah. But I do have to say, there's some great social commentary in here without them shoving the ideals down your throat, which is a problem
That's
with
cool.
a lot
yeah.
of books. And the story and the dialogue from Wood is exceptional. The art from Doyle is fucking amazing. And when you add in the colors by Jordi Belair, I mean, which she is hands down, I think, the best colorist out there. Look. She...
Her tied with Dave Stewart.
I don't know.
I love them both too much.
I love Stewart, but I gotta say, Jordy's got it. I think Jordy holds the title right now. All right. But anyway, all three of those things set the mood for this book in such a way, like, I don't know. It's one of the best and most unique books I've read in a long time, so two mugs up, go buy it. That's it for Indie Turnpike.
Awesome.
I'm so good right now. Thank you. I just keep on imagining them praying at the statue of Macho Man. And this beef stick is a part of him.
Michael,
take it now. Mike,
Michael Jordan's been elected president in this world.
Should we do a little news and notes, guys?
I think we can do some news and notes.
Do we have any?
We got a few things. The weird one, I'll bring up the weird one first. Peter Parker has a sister.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't yet because the book hasn't...
But he does.
Written.
Well, no, the book's coming out in, I think they said May.
Derek, you're so misleading because that's like me saying so, Superman's dead, or that's like me saying Wolverine's dead or something.
In
because
11
they've
months,
done it at one point.
In 11 months, Peter Parker will have a sister.
It's his own graphic novel storyline that has nothing to do with fucking Spider-Man
in
right
the
now.
Future, Peter Parker will have a sister in the past.
Yeah, or Marvel is still time traveling.
Yeah, so it's just weird. Go look it up for yourselves and see, because it's confusing.
I mean, Mark Waid was talking about the fact that as he's going to write this book, he's really excited about doing a Peter Parker story where Peter Parker is more human and less of the all superpower things. Letting Peter Parker be that everyman who's thrown into a ridiculous situation as his sister is a spy, super spy, James Bondish, which kind of brings into what Peter's parents were. I think overall it's going to work out well, and it's probably going to tie in pretty well for the movie franchises that Sony does.
Derek, thank you for sharing for lamenews.com.
Hold on.
Lamenews.com? I really hope that that's a website.
What I'll say about this is, if Mark Waid's writing this, I didn't know that until you just said that. That's amazing. And I think these characters work best out of continuity, to be honest with you. When you get those stories that aren't bagged with a bunch of stuff before it,
yeah,
that's when they can shine. And
you can
I'm
tell a really,
really
good story.
Interested in, yeah. in what happens when Peter Parker has a sister. Yeah. I want to know that story.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think if it's done well, it's going to be a really nice side story. Whether or not it's in the mainstream continuity or not,
yeah,
isn't really important. I'm kind of at first hesitant to go, why does he have to have a sister? Why couldn't it be a cousin or someone else who's related to him, you know, distantly?
Yeah.
Like Uncle Ben and May had a kid that they gave up to adoption, and that's who this person is? Well, mind blown.
Who knows what it's going to be exactly.
Dude, why are you guys wasting so much time on this dumb news thing?
All right, sorry.
Because it's awesome. Because it's a fun discussion.
They do say that this actually does take place before the continuity of Doc Ock becoming the superior Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So.
Once again, I didn't care.
But who cares?
Yeah. Well, just because you don't care doesn't continuity. Mean somebody else doesn't care. All right, Tony.
So let's move on to the next one about Journey into Mystery.
Well, that's not a mystery. It's not going to be around anymore. Yeah. It's getting canceled.
Yeah, that was a great comic book that I was picking up until they turned it to Sith.
Do you think
book.
They will finally journey to the mystery and figure it out by the end? That's my main concern.
Yeah, that's it. Well, they got to get into the mystery, and then we'll be stuck in the mystery. It'll be Journey stuck in the mystery.
The one thing that I'm happy about with Journey into Mystery is that they continue.
About a young town boy living in a lonely world.
What?
Sick of midnight train going anywhere.
No, not that Journey. I stopped believing, Tony.
Journey is going to be pissed at you.
Yeah.
Don't stop, man.
Plus,
okay.
Steve Perry won't be, but, you know. But,
born and raised in Windsor.
Yeah. So, anyway, back to Spider-Man news.
No, I was going to say, well, this Journey into Mystery thing reminds me of the fact that the run with Kid Loki, amazing.
Yeah.
Really, really good. The people who had to take over after Kieran Gillian's run on that had some big shoes to fill. And so, if readers kind of dropped off because it became more about Lady Sif, I'm not surprised.
Sith, like a Dark Lord.
No, Lady Sith.
Oh, okay. With fava beans.
What, yeah, one of them is the explosive, and one is the. But I can understand them canceling that title, just like Morbius, that they're kind of B or C list characters.
At Marvel or DC, when you have a title that doesn't have the main character or some character's name in it or a group,
yeah,
it's not going to do well.
The one thing I'll say that I'm happy about is that they continued the numbering when they started it back
up. Yes.
You know, in the 600s.
Yep.
And I hope if they ever pick it back up that they don't go back to a number one.
That's the only reason why they're canceling it is so they can go back to a number one.
Probably.
Well, but fun fact, you know, another footnote for you, ladies and gentlemen. Thor's first appearance was in A Journey into Mystery.
Yeah.
So,
I think everyone knows that.
So,
I don't think everyone knows that. I just enlightened some people.
Two of them.
Yes. Okay, cool. Moving on, Spider-Man.
Amazing Spider-Man 3 and 4, the movies, have been announced by Sony before Amazing Spider-Man 2 is even in theaters. So
it's a bold move.
Well, needless to say, Marvel's not getting Spidey back anytime soon for movies.
No, I don't think so.
And Warner Brothers is trying to fast-track Man of Steel 2 as soon as 2014 even. They just announced that today that they want to have it as soon as 2014 if not 2015, because what they want to do in 2015 is actually start having a Justice League movie made, which means they want to have Man of Steel set that up, or number two set that up, so that then the following year they can have...
I think I read 2015 they want Justice League out.
And in all honesty, by 2030, I'm pretty sure there might possibly be... a Justice League movie by 2030. Like I'm saying, at the latest 2032, there will be a Justice League movie.
Another big thing in DC announces is Justice League 3000. It's they're going to the future, so they're taking some ideas from Marvel, and it's going to be taking all the iconic characters and pretty much setting them in the year 2000 or 3000. I mean.
You said that just to make me want to sing.
In the year 3000. In the year 3000.
So that could be cool.
In the year, well, I got this nice little ad here about the Trinity War. And again, the fact that Trinity War is about Justice League America fighting Justice League, Dark. The only thing I could think of is, who are these three teams? And why are they going to fight each other, only to eventually probably say, "Wait, why are we fighting each other? Let's fight this other person."
Is it a ladder match?
It's a ladder.
Well, I'm sure it's all going to tie into the Pandora character or whatever. But DC's taken a very interesting route since the New 52, and I think they need to. Loosen up.
Yeah, but it's not that. New anymore. And well, I don't understand what the fuck. Well, I'll never get.
Yes. Well, it's saying, like, New 52 is kind of like, you know, saying, like, when you're a rapper having Lil. Eventually, you're not Lil anymore. Like, Lil Bow Wow.
Right. And they don't even have 52.
I'm Big Bow Wow.
Yeah. They're not even new.
What I really quick have to say, though, is Vertigo needs to go back to how it was in the early 2000s. DC needs to give more creative control. Or let out more creative control.
Lot of the stories that I read about DC is that they do something and then they grab the public opinion about it.
Yeah.
And then they turn that into like, oh, we'll just do whatever our fanboys want. And really, if you want to tell a good, compelling story, take a risk and say, no, this is the story we're going to tell.
Yeah.
All right. Other DC news. DC announces Superman/Wonder Woman title. It's coming out. And it's more, I guess, from what I read about the romance between Superman and Wonder Woman.
Are they still dating? Or
hey, thank you, Frank Miller, for like putting that into our minds.
Wait, what?
The Dark Knight Returns?
Oh, yeah.
Superman and Wonder Woman had a child.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's it's scheduled to hit in October. To me, all I can picture is that it's the Archie version of Superman and Wonder Woman.
But Wonder Woman is Archie, and then Batman and Superman are the chicks.
Well, no,
Betty and Veronica.
Yeah, no. I think Superman's Moose, and Wonder Woman is Midge. Yeah. So.
Well, speaking of Archie, Archie is going to team up with a couple of the guys who wrote Thor. And they are going to have a special issue of Archie, Clod of Thunder, where he is going to inherit Mjolnir.
Mjolnir.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, Tony doesn't speak ancient Viking.
He doesn't speak Thorbelt and Vedica.
Yeah, but it's Archie the
Clod. All right, some of those covers are pretty awesome.
The Clod of Thunder, which
that's
I think
coming
is
out in October, and I'm sure Matt will actually pick up his first Archie just for that.
Probably will.
Well, and I think it's great, though, because they've got these, you know, Archie covers that are tied in with Marvel, so you've got two publishers come together. I think it's sweet.
Not only Walter Simonson is attached to this.
Yes. Walt Simonson is doing, like, these covers, which is... That is fantastic. Like, I might actually buy an Archie.
Yeah.
Last news I've got is Lock and Key, the Image book, is going to become a movie finally after initially doing a pilot for TV that got turned down.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a cool thing.
Which that was the reason why they turned it down, was they said it would work better as a movie.
Oh, really?
I don't... Like, it feels like with Lock and Key, the way that that story is set up, though, you have, if you're doing a movie, you have to make it a franchise. This is all based on the keys in the house.
Well, if you're Hollywood, you have to make everything a franchise.
Well, of course, that too, but...
A good friend of the show, Joss, has announced he doesn't really give a shit about Quicksilver in the X-Men movies.
For those of you that just don't know the first name Joss, it's Joss Whedon, but...
Who doesn't know
him? He is an excellent friend of the show. Thank you, Joss. I can't wait for our next barbecue.
And
as in first.
Here's one thing on that, though. If Quicksilver was in both franchises... It kind of would be interesting, like, see who could do him better something.
Yeah, that's what, and ultimately it goes, you know, we talked about this before, about as people who are going to see that movie, I don't care about your bullshit, like, legal battles about who owns the rights and things. I want a good character that is important to the, progresses the story, or is just really, really awesome to watch.
Yeah,
and so when you guys get Namor and his Speedo, I can't wait.
But it's just like thinking there was those other Spider-Man movies and there's these new Spider-Man movies. So there's two different sets of Spider-Man. There's two different Quicksilvers.
If it's a good story, really matter. Yeah.
I mean, that's how it kind of works in the comics. You know?
Last bit of news I have, Robert Downey Jr. has signed on for Avengers 2 and 3. That's as far as what he has agreed to, but he has officially confirmed that he's going to do both of those two movies, so that's good going for having those movies being made.
Seeing as Joss Whedon had recently said that he
would not make
Avengers
it without
2
it.
Would not be possible without him, so that's good.
All right.
Thank you, Robert Downey Jr. I can't wait for our next barbecue.
i.e. our first. All right, guys, that pretty much wraps it up, I think, for news and notes.
Yep.
On to booze and a book.
Yeah.
All right, booze and a book this week.
I say we've had a lot of booze.
Yeah, not more booze than books.
Yeah.
But this week for booze and a book, I have X-Files Season 10, number 1. You know, the sad thing is like, when you get to, like, page 3 or 4 and you flip, you see the X-Files, like you know, logo on there, and I, in my head... And then out loud, reading it at home, started going, do 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 do. I started singing it.
Hey, Derek, is the smoking man in this one?
No, the smoking man is in this episode.
Okay.
Me. But, so X-Files Season 10, number 1 from IDW, written by Joe Harris, executive producer and story collaborator Chris Carter from the original series.
Yeah.
Art by Michael Walsh. Colors, once again, by Jordi Belair, because she's a beast and just does everything.
Well, she can color everything. She has a superpower that allows her to color the entire industry.
Yeah. So I am pairing this I'm pairing this with a Pete's Wicked Ale, which is an English brown ale with a 5.5% alcohol by volume. And I'm putting these two together because, honestly, they remind me of my college years when I loved both the beer and this TV show. Now, I've read the book, and I had a Pete's Wicked Ale recently, and very simply, I just want to believe that these are still good.
Just believe, Derek. Just believe.
I want to believe that these are good.
Derek, may I say, that's wicked awesome.
All right, so that's it for Booze in a Book.
Any last calls?
Last call. Yeah, there are a few last calls. Tony, did you cover all of yours already?
He covered most of them.
Superior was kind of cool. He's out on a rampage.
Captain Marvel was kind of interesting. Superior Spider-Man.
And, hey.
And actually...
What are you guys doing?
Hey, it's the local drunk.
Hey.
I.e. Matt and Tony's dad.
What are you guys doing?
We're recording something, Dad. Jeez.
Doesn't look like you're recording.
Yeah, all right. So, back to the recording. Brian McKay, who lives at...
Nowhere.
Yeah. Because he's homeless.
In the alley behind the bar.
Yeah. Fanboys vs. Zombies number 15 is once again found a way, even in space, to throw in some nerdy, like, you know, just throwbacks. When they send Amanda into the air ducts after a zombie, and I got to find the panel in here, because it's a head-on shot of her crawling through. She goes, come out to space. We'll get together. Have a few laughs.
I'll do a whiskey or Jameson and Coke.
Top.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's Tony's last call.
I'll
the middle of the afternoon.
Another beer.
Another beer?
Yep.
One more.
Another beer?
But no, it's great because they've got the Die Hard reference in here. Come out to space, we'll get together, have a few laughs. Yeah. You know, she's crawling through the air ducts. But there's, once again, Fanboys vs. Zombies, number 15. Awesome book, well worth picking up.
As we covered most of the Avengers, just pick up a title that says Avengers. It's probably going to be good.
Do you have anything else?
All right, yeah, I can't go on this episode without talking a little bit about Mike Mignola. So I have Baltimore, The Inquisitor, and BBRD, Hell on Earth, issue 108. They stopped using the, blah, 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 part two of whatever, you know, on the cover. Thank you. Both are really good. Baltimore is a one-shot, and they've been doing these one-shots over at Dark Horse a lot for the Mignola books. They're always just fantastic short stories. BPRD keeps explaining basically the end of the world, like post-rapture kind of style apocalypse. But you get a very interesting perspective from a character in there. That's what I'll say about those.
I have Cable and the X-Force, which is the cooler X-Force out there right now.
Oh, liar!
No, you're
liar.
You're drunk. Anyways,
liar.
Good book. My favorite thing is that Cable learns a very important managerial task, and that is delegating your work to your underlings. So, good job, Cable. I hope that you get your promotion here in the near future.
Yeah. Well, I think. Tony, do you have any others, or is that pretty much it? I had a short stack this week.
I would talk about the Ultimates number 26. If you're reading that, good for you. I'm going to catch up, and in the near future, I'm going to talk the shit out of that stuff.
All right, well, so as our anniversary... Oh, wait, what do you have, Jim?
I already talked about that.
We talked about it. I said all Avengers titles. Jim, I just talked about it.
All Avengers titles covers all Avengers.
All right, but Jim wants to talk about the Avengers Prelude to Infinity, number 14.
I don't know. I basically, just to sum it up, this is the first issue I picked up out of this run. It's a prelude.
And you're confused as hell?
Yeah. Okay. It didn't do anything for me, unfortunately. It was pretty.
Hey,
it was really
pretty.
I was
going to say, the normal, just no adjective Avengers has been really gorgeous this entire run.
Yeah,
kudos to those artists. And the story has been compelling, if not just a tiny bit confusing.
Yeah. I'd say really quick, Frank Martin, that guy can color. Like,
yeah.
I do, since this is our anniversary episode, I do want to give a little bit of shout out to some people that have been there like since the very start, supporters of ours.
Like me?
You weren't even there at the very start.
Damn it.
I'd like to thank Derek.
And I'd like to thank Tony.
Yeah.
All right, we're done. No, but supporters of the show, I'd really like to thank Ari Carr, Jay Webb, the guys from an Elegant Weapon podcast, Dominic from the Fat Lantern, and Nick Francis. Thank you guys.
I want to thank Jason Westlake for helping us get some art going at first.
Yep, Josh Werner. Big support.
Your buddy Mike, who kind of helped us at first trying to get this shit up on the web first time.
Dirk Manning, just for being, you know, willing to talk to us and, you know, help, you know.
Joss Whedon.
Yeah, good
for the barbecues.
The show. Yep, yep.
I also want to thank two really good bands, Chasing the Sky and Domestic Problems, for allowing us to use their music.
Yeah, thank you guys. We appreciate it. You know, that way we don't have to, like, worry about legal troubles.
Yeah.
Matt Murdock, our lawyer.
Yeah. Murdark.
Shut up.
Miles Morn and Matt Murdark.
Miles Moron.
We'd like to thank both of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Tony's phone.
Tony's phone. Once again, we managed it. And now it's complete. Now the anniversary is complete. That Tony's phone is beeped at us.
So, thank you, all of our listeners, all the people who are supporting us. I hope you're still having fun, because we're having a blast.
And I hope you're still spreading the word about us, because the more you tell people, the more we can continue to do this. So.
And I apologize for just the drunken distractions that we've had today. Normally, it is not this zany, but...
This was an experiment, and...
You started it by buying shots before we even started recording.
That is true.
Normally, we're like maybe one, 2 beers in max.
Right, here's a Shyamalan twist. That was
Shyamalama Ding Dong.
That was planned.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll be back in Tony's padded room here next week.
Yeah. So
same drunk time, same drunk channel.
But if you're drunk, how can you remember which one it was?
It's in a footnote somewhere.
Yeah. All right.
Matt.
I'm Derek.
I'm Jim.
Hobo Jim, and I'm Tony.
All right, guys, keep reading those comics. We'll be back next week to talk to you about them then. See ya.
And looks like it's on pause right now, so we didn't get any of that.
Just kidding, Derek.
Oh, you're an ass. I hate you.